Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for a wonderful show today that's for you, because the show's about you guys. It's about those of you that work so hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you, so you don't have to work so hard for it. You want to have a life that where you can have the cash flow, the freedom, and prosperity today, not someday, but right now. You want to be held that freedom today so you can be with those that you love when you want to be with them and do what you want. So welcome here. So grateful you guys are here. Thankful for sharing the show. I mean, you guys have been amazing. I love how this community keeps expanding and growing, and you guys are incredible. And thanks to those of you who have been reaching out as well. You guys have been like the exact kind of people that I know I can help. And so I know there's plenty of you out there that I'm able to influence and help, and I'm grateful to call you guys a Rippler too. So today I want to talk about really something that came up in a mastermind that I had with my clients recently. We were just kind of doing more of a Q&A, kind of sharing ideas and everything. And as we're doing that, one of the questions came up. They said, "Hey, Chris, you kind of just mentioned this casually, but you mentioned about, you know, really just kind of designing that life. What do you mean by that? You know, what do you mean by designing your life?" You know, I had shared with them that I really took a big direction change in my business, really, even while I was doing this podcast. About 4 years ago, went through a divorce, and it was a really difficult time for me. And I've mentioned that on other shows too. And those of you who have been through it, you know, you get it. And it was a horrible time. I mean, it really was, like, emotionally so draining to the point that I just felt like I could only manage the clients that I had at that moment. You know, even though I had plenty of time, I went from working 50 or 60 plus hours a week to all of a sudden managing maybe at 5 hours a week with people. And I had plenty of time, like I said. That resource was definitely not a scarcity at all. But the problem was my energy was scarce. You know, like my energy was being diverted in different places, and it was even hard for me to even answer emails. And that's why about three or four years ago, I did a show called The Inbox Implosion, where I talked about just tackling those emails because I let them fall behind. I was only answering client emails and stuff, and opportunities would come and I barely even would answer those, you know, and so it was a tough time. But here's the cool thing is that when I was going through that, I realized that even at 5 hours a week, I still had a business. Now I wasn't under the impression that I had to keep hustling and working hard and keep like filling that pipeline, right, with clients and opportunities and keep doing events. You know, I had a business coach telling me that I need to go from 6 events a year to 12, so once a month, so I can keep filling my pipeline full of clients. But those six, I did it that year in 2015, and I practically, you know, burned out doing just 6 events. And, you know, and I realized, like, wait a minute, maybe this is not what I want. And so this show is for those of you that feel like maybe you're not even sure what you want. Or maybe you've been living a life that others have told you you want. Or maybe you've been taking ideas from other people, right? It's like the movie The Italian Job, when the guy that ends up being the villain, you know, when they say, "Hey, what would you do with your part of the money?" He's like, I'll take one of everything you guys want. I'll just take that. You know, he didn't have an idea of his own. He just took everybody else's ideas, right? And, you know, and that's kind of what it's like sometimes, whether it be financial goals, it could be business goals, it could be just life goals. You know, you might be thinking, "Hey, I want to travel a lot." Okay, well, do you really want to travel a lot? Or is that just because you think that's what people do when they become more free or when they have more finances to do that or more time to do that kind of stuff? Maybe that's just what you think. And so this is really to get you to look at what really is that life that you want. You know, and that's the question I had asked myself is, What kind of business do I want? What kind of life do I want? And, you know, because I really felt like I was kind of just fitting into a mold, right? I had other ideas that were impressionable upon me that I thought, that sounds nice. And there's nothing wrong with that, like with, you know, borrowing ideas. The thing that's wrong is if you just take it to be your own rather than actually, you know, really creating it to be your own, right? Like to be your own flavor of that thing. And so when I realized that my business wasn't necessarily, you know, completely destroyed and demolished at 5 hours a week, I realized that, you know, at that time and that kind of place I was in, I could rebuild from scratch. And so I started to ask myself, okay, if I were to redo my business, how would I do it? Now, I had done this at the very beginning when I started Money Ripples about 7 years ago. You know, I started saying, okay, how would I do my process differently than how I did with the previous company I worked with? You know, how would I create it to be even more efficient or better, you know, or even fit my life better, right? And that's why I started thinking about this time as I started doing that Pareto's principle. You know, you guys have heard it, you know, and there's different versions of it, of course, right? If you ever heard the book, The One Thing, they talk about it in there too, where it's, you know, talks about that oftentimes the 20% of things will take up 80% of our time. However, the top 20% of things, there's actually the thing that creates also like 80% or more of our business or money, right? You know, it's like that top 20% of clients usually are 80% of our revenue, or the top, you know, 20% of our clothes are all that we wear 80% of the time, right? You know, it's kind of like that, you know, it's that leveraging aspect. And so I started to think, I thought, well, based on that, what is really my top 20%? And I started focusing on my clientele because I realized that some of the clients I had, I was not excited to talk to at the time. There's several I did, like there's most of them I did, but there's a few I thought, why did I bring them on? And I realized I probably just did it because, you know, hey, they wanted me to help them. They were willing to pay the money. So I thought, well, why stop that? You know, and there was something in my gut that said, are you sure? Are you sure these are the people you should work with? And so there was a few of those people that were huge energy drains. That they were actually the 20% on the low end that would actually consume 80% of my energy. Not necessarily my time, but definitely my energy, because it would get me to the point where I'd say, ugh. I would almost be like, if I see their name on the calendar for that week, I didn't want to look forward to it, right? Just so you know, because I know there's clients of mine listening to this, the clients I've had over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years have been incredible. They've been exactly the kind of clients I wanted. And that's because of what I'm talking about here. So that was not permanent, but it got me to question everything. So I started to keep an image in my mind of is who do I want to attract? Who are my favorite clients? And I started to hold the image and their faces and everything in my mind and their situations and how they were and the questions they asked. And I started to hold that in my mind. And when I started to do my podcast, for example, where I'd go out and speak and market, I would actually be holding an image of these people in my head and talk to them. Just so you know, when I do this podcast, I actually have an image of a particular person in mind that I talk to, or at least maybe two people or three types of people that I might have in mind, but that's it. For the most part, it's very specific, and I talk to you specifically. That's why some shows you'll listen to, you'll say, yeah, I didn't quite feel that one. And then another show you say, man, Chris, it's like you're talking right to me, right? That's intentional. That's on purpose. And so I started intentionally focusing towards them, you know, towards those people. I said, well, what do I want to attract versus what I don't want to attract? And so, you know, eventually I cleaned out my clients, you know, and the ones that were draining. Eventually I finished up the processes, you know, gave them the results, but, you know, I definitely did not offer them any option to keep work with me on a longer term basis. You know, I didn't say, hey, here's my retainer. Here's how you can keep work with me for life. I didn't do that. And so, you know, I just let them go. I said, all right, we fulfilled both of our ends of the deal, and, you know, love you, respect you, hope for the best for you, and we'll see you later, right? And then there's others I said, no, I want to keep you around for a long time because I know I can serve you, and you definitely bring me joy when I work with you. And so that's when things started to shift and change, and I started to think about the speaking engagements I did. I stopped doing as many speaking engagements. I stopped going to speak live so often. If I did something, I did it from my computer. I started focusing more on these podcasts because I realized that, you know, my voice was the thing that actually was powerful. You know, it wasn't just me going to speak, even though I do love speaking. You know, just last week, and I did a TED talk, at a little 10-minute talk at a dental conference, and just had a blast doing it. it drained the heck out of me, because talking for only 10 minutes is tough, considering that I'm now at about the 10-minute mark now talking to you. 10 minutes it was very hard to try to teach a new concept and blow people's minds and entertain them at the same time, which I like to do when I speak live. So, you know, that kind of thing I do like, but you know, I started to become very picky about it. I started to say no to opportunities. I stopped saying yes to everything, because before I would just say yes to whatever I could, because I thought, hey, just got to get that momentum going, get the wheel going, you know, and you might feel like that's a necessity. I'll tell you that if something in your gut tells you it's wrong, then don't do it. And so I started to design that. I said, okay, who are the ideal clients I want? How do I want my days to be? I started to realize if I can work 5 days, 5 hours a week, well, what could that look like? Maybe I don't have to work 50 plus hours a week. And so I started to think, all right, what's that good medium? And so I started to work more. I started working like, you know, at least 10 to 20 hours a week. But as I did that, I realized, wait, I'm going to cut out all this networking stuff. I'm going to cut out a lot of the speaking. I'm going to cut out a lot of this extra, you know, groups and things I'm involved with that really just are like the 80% time waster, but not part of that top, you know, really the 80% of our revenue, right? And I started to flip those around. I started to focus on the 20. And in fact, not only did I focus on the top 20% of the clients, but then I took it another step further and said, all right, what's the top 20% of my top 20%? So what's that top 1/5 of the top 1/5, which is your top 4%? I started to focus there. I'm like, well, who's my absolute best clients, like the handful of them? Who are the best of those? And I started to look at those guys and focusing on that and the best of the activities and so on and so forth. You know, I stopped saying yes to every podcast interview, even though I did tons. In fact, I believe in 2015, I had 184 speaking engagements in 2015 between podcasts, interviews, speaking, you name it, anything, webinars, whatever, right? And I said, you know what, I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to bring it down. So I think the next year I brought it down to 125. And then after that, it was like right around 116 or something in 2018 or 17. I can't remember now. The years have been flying by. And this year it's kind of the same thing. I think I might end up getting back up to around 120 or so, but it's right around there. You know, like I usually don't do much more than like two different speaking engagements a week. And well, really, I guess, okay, I do have more because of these podcast episodes. I'm doing two a week. So, okay, maybe I'm doing at least three a week. So it might push up towards 150. But that's the cool thing is that still it's leveraging my time the best way I can. And I started to look at my life. It's like, what kind of life do I want? And how do I want my family to be? And especially because that, I mean, you got to imagine when you're going through a divorce, especially if you're a dad like I am, where I got very involved with my family, you know, then all of a sudden not to have them every day was just one of the most crushing things I dealt with. The marriage was hard enough, but not having your kids around you every day was crushing. And, you know, and that was, I started losing my own identity. I'm like, well, who am I? And that might be a great question to ask yourself is, well, who are you? Who are you really? What do you want each day to look like? If you could describe your perfect day, what would it be? What would be that perfect day? You know, would you be working? And if so, how much would you be working? What sort of activities of your work would you be doing, and which ones would you not be? Right? Maybe those would be the ones you delegate. You know, what are some of the things that you'd be doing on a daily basis, or even on the weekends or the weekdays? You know, just because obviously those could be different. You can create, you know, that ability to create harmony between your different areas of your life, and it doesn't mean you have to work 10 to 20 hours a week like I talk about, right? You know, by the way, I'm actually looking to go up to 20 to 30 hours a week now, just because that mission is calling me so much more. I'm starting to look at ways of, okay, how can I still have good, you know, that good harmony? I never like to say the word balance because I don't believe in true balance, but I do like to believe that there's harmony, that you can have the best in all areas of your life. And so those are the kind of things you want to look at, you know. And so the first thing is really that vision, that clear vision of what do you really want? I love this question. The question that I ask myself and I ask of my clients very often is, if money were no issue, what would you spend your time doing? If money were no longer an issue in your life, what would you spend your time doing? Would you still be working that job or that business? Would you still be, you know, raising your family the same way? Would you be spending your time the same way? You know, would you travel more, or would you only travel a little bit more? You know, you probably wouldn't travel 24/7. I know that's a stressful thing for a lot of people to try to do that, but what would you be doing? You know, what kind of activities would you be doing with your family or with yourself? Would you be working on yourself more? Would you be working out more? Would you be in better health? What are those things you'd be doing if money were no longer an issue, that you couldn't use that as the excuse anymore, saying you don't have enough money or time or whatever it might be? Say that you had the time. What would you do? How would you invest it? And I'll tell you, that's a scary, scary question for a lot of people to answer, because many people never consider what that would be. They never think about what's that next step, or what's that vision of where you want to go. Because the only way to figure out what your next step is, the next thing you need to do, is by knowing what that vision is. And the clearer the vision, the more easily and quickly you will get there. In fact, your vision will pull you to where you're trying to go versus having to push yourself to get there. A vision will pull you. You'll actually be attracted to it, and it'll be attracted to you. It's like mutual magnetism that happens. And so the real question is all right, well, if money were no issue, what would I spend my time doing? What is that perfect day for me? What's the ideal life? And I'll tell you guys, like, my vision has shifted and changed over the years. And it's okay if yours does too. You don't have to have the perfect vision that's going to be the absolute point Z in your life, right? Or point Z, for some of our other international people too. It's not going to be that. It might be that, what you see is actually only point G, or maybe it's point S or something like that. It might just be down the road, and it's not the final destination, but it's somewhere to pull you that direction. And so really put some thought and effort into that. Journal it, write it down. Really understand what it is that you want, because the more clear that vision, the easier it is to achieve it. The faster you'll move towards it. It's just like, if you flip on the lights in the middle of a room, you're much more likely to run faster when the lights are on or it's daylight outside than it is when it's pitch black at night, right? You're going to tiptoe around, you kind of meander. In fact, if you don't even know where you're going, you're never going to go anywhere anyways, right? So find that vision where it's going to pull you, and then only worry about the next step. What's that next step for you? What's that point? If you're at point A, what's that point B? See, so many people get so hung up on that big vision. They think, okay, I gotta have steps, from point A to point Z. I gotta have steps B through Y figured out. And then the truth is, you don't. You don't at all. In fact, it's actually could be destructive, or even misleading if you take that direction. All you need to worry about is that next step. And I love Truant Cathy, the owner of Chick-fil-A restaurants. He even said he doesn't plan. He doesn't create a plan at all. But what he does do is that he has a clear vision of where he's trying to go, and then he only worries about that next step. What's that next step? What is your next step to get towards that vision, to step a little bit closer? Because you'll realize as you step closer to that vision, the path before you will be illuminated just beyond where you are. And if you try to figure out, A through Z and knowing all the steps in between, you're probably going to miss out on some of the best opportunities to get you there faster or in a happier way. So don't worry about having a perfect plan laid out where it's step by step every single step of the way. Hey, as long as you even have just points B or C, you're in a good place, And that's all you have to do is just get to those points and then worry about D or E or F and so on down the line. So anyways, that's the thing. I'll tell you guys, as I started to do that, my business shifted. That's when I started to work less but make a lot more money. I was more profitable too, because I stopped doing so many activities that took, profit from my business. It didn't matter what revenue I made if you're using that money to go and invest back in your business over and over in things that maybe don't create the ROI that you want. But what did happen for me is that it created a much better life. I actually got healthier. I got stronger. I actually just posted this on Facebook last week where I saw a picture of myself from 6 years ago. And there's people that said, wow, Chris, that doesn't even look like you. And it's true, because in some ways it wasn't just the physical body, the outward shell that looked like that. It was actually my internal world too, because part of me wasn't living my life. It wasn't being who I was at my heart and my soul. And as I started to step into that more and discover who I am, man, you can't even put a price tag on it. There's no amount of money that can create that. You could be rich and miserable if you don't know who you are. And so get clear, design the life that way that you want it to be, not what everybody else wants it to be, but design the life that you want it to look like. Design it however you want it to be, who you want to be with, and what you want to be doing day in and day out. Do what you love and be with those that you love when you want to do it. That's really the key here. So, guys, I appreciate being here and joining us this week. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at MoneyRipples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.